Stand together once again and take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17.
And then find 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Just take a moment. Our primary text will be over in 1 Thessalonians as we continue our series, The Marks of a Mighty Church. And we've been preaching from the book of Acts, and now these next few weeks we're going to jump over to some of the epistles to see the follow-up to the origination of the churches and to see some of the attributes of these mighty churches of the first century. While you're finding Acts 17 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we want to congratulate Jason and Melissa Vigue of the Home Builders class. Had a baby boy, Jared Luke, and we congratulate them. And Brother Vigue's back here tonight, new dad. Baby's born Friday, and that's a blessing. And this week, of course, we have soul winning on Tuesday morning and Tuesday night, and then our midweek service Wednesday night and the ladies' retreat. Tomorrow night, I'll be preaching over in Barstow, California, and some of you might be interested in going over there. Let Brother Furson know after the service. Brother Hampton's a wonderful man of God, and we'll be there with Brother Tomlinson preaching tomorrow. And so let's just remember one another in prayer this week as we serve the Lord together. Acts chapter 17, and beginning in verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Now what you just read was the beginning of the church at Thessalonica. Paul went into the synagogue and preached Christ, and people believed. And then from the Greeks people believed, and some of the devout women also believed, the chief women believed. And then the Bible tells us what happens when a church is established and people get saved. But the Jews which believed not, moved with, what's the next word say? And took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. So they're going to now pick on a new believer named Jason. They get the whole city in an uproar about these fundamental independent Baptists that came to town, telling people that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And when they found them not, verse 6, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received." And you see, you'll get in trouble every time you hang around with soul winners, right? Jason had received them. And he says, "And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And then over to 1 Thessalonians, as Paul the Apostle writes to these believers who had been saved, the ones we just read about. Now, 1 year later, he writes the book of 1 Thessalonians. So the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, giving us the early origins of the church. And then these latter books are referred to as the epistles written to those same local churches. And so the book of 1 Thessalonians says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the," what's the next word? "Of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace." And there's never peace without grace. That's why grace always comes first. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Tonight we will preach a message entitled, "A Church of Mighty Faith." Let us pray. Always reveal the fact that the church at Thessalonica was indeed a mighty church. Thessalonica, which today is called Salonica, was located on the Roman road between Rome and Constantinople.
Thessalonica was a city of about 200,000 people, a major city in the first century. And yet, when we consider the attributes of a mighty church, a church is not mighty because of its location. A church is not mighty because of the population base within that city, nor is it a mighty church because of the demographics of the city. A church is a mighty church when the people in the church obey the Word of God. A church is a mighty church when the church has convictions to obey the Word of God. We see in the life of the Thessalonican church that the Lord provided the direction for the church through the preaching of His Word. And the leadership provided a pattern for the church through their shepherding and mentoring in the midst of the people. The people shared the convictions from the Word of God, and convictions from the Word of God will always produce movement in the church. Convictions are the spark plugs that cause the engine to have combustion and cause the church to go forward. A church that stands for nothing will fall every time for the false teachings of this world. And then we see that consistent obedience will provide victory in the church, as was the case at Thessalonica. Now, the Thessalonican model was a model that every one of us can learn from. The church was a church that each of us tonight can glean from. Here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, which was probably the Apostle Paul's first letter written to the churches, we see that he is writing to a church that is now about 1 year old in their faith. He is encouraging them to keep on with their faith in Jesus Christ and to continue on in the truths that had been committed to them. And we see some tremendous attributes in this church that Paul the Apostle constantly thought about. You know, I pray that when people think about Lancaster Baptist Church, they'll not think about our buildings. They'll not think about the ministries. But I pray that they will think about the dynamic faith that God has placed within the hearts of His people here. Paul says, as he thinks of this church in verse number 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." Notice with me tonight, first of all, the work of the church. The work of the church at Thessalonica. The Bible tells us specifically about this church and about its mighty attributes when it says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." I want you to notice that it is not merely the work that Paul remembered, but it was their work of faith that he remembered. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." How many of you believe it took faith for Paul the Apostle to march right into a synagogue and preach Jesus Christ? And when Paul exercised that faith, Jason and other believers at Thessalonica continued the pattern, and they went from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "When I think of your work, I remember the work of faith." The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Let us remember as a church tonight that if we will please God, if we will progress for God into the 21st century, then we must have the same faith that this church had in 1986 and 1987, and until this very day, we must have faith in God. And here we see the Thessalonican church had faith in God. It takes faith to leave the familiar. It takes faith to follow the Savior. It takes faith to serve from the heart. It takes faith to knock on a door. It takes faith to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes faith to have a missionary conference. It takes faith to build buildings. And it takes faith to build families for God. And Paul said, "When I think about the church at Thessalonica, I remember their work of faith." The Bible says in James 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." We need today the kind of faith that works. Not the kind of faith that merely talks, but the kind of faith that works for an almighty God. This was the kind of faith that was evident at Thessalonica. I'm saying tonight, this is not schoolbook faith. This is not seminary classroom faith. But this is an operational kind of faith that caused men and women to go out and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a work of faith. I was thinking this past week about our first banquet here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And we called the banquet Giving by Faith. Giving by faith. Some might say, well, why did we call it giving by faith? That's easy. We didn't know who would come. We didn't know how much would come in. And thirdly, we didn't even know what we were giving to. We just said, folks, there's a need for some land someday. We're going to need some more room. And so let's just come and give to who knows what, who knows when. Let's just give by faith. And thank God for those first families who came and gave on that night $50,000. And you know the rest of the story, that because of faith, on that very next day when this property came available and when $50,000 was needed to secure this property, it was no problem at all for the church of God. Why? Because the people of God exercised faith in God, and God saw that faith, and God opened up the door because of the faith the people of God had. And I submit to you tonight, if the church at Thessalonica had a work of faith, and if God has blessed this work of faith, then let us not grow weary of the faith walk as we move ahead into the 21st century. Paul said, when I remember your church, I remember your work of faith. I was thinking this past week about our first missionary conference. Why, can you imagine when we were not yet even a self-supporting church, inviting missionaries to come to our church and share their burden with us, and by faith taking them on for missionary support? That conference was a conference of faith. I remember the very first bus route Lancaster Baptist Church started. We were just a young church. We didn't have 100 people in what we call the drive-in crowd. But Brother Eldon Lofgren came. He said, I feel burdened for a bus route. I said, Brother Lofgren, if you feel burdened for that bus route, then let's pray about it. He said, we got an old van over here in the parking lot, and we began to paint that van, and we put a lettering on the side, Lancaster Baptist Church. We have the video of that very first day, Brother Lofgren pulling back into the old church parking lot, that old white van that since has gone to the graveyard of graveyards for church vans. And he pulled in with that van, and two children came that day. You know why they came? Because of one man who had faith. I'm saying it takes faith to step out and do things for God. I think of the day when we said, by faith, let's start Lancaster Baptist School. Let's go ahead and just see what God will do. I remember Brother and Mrs. Hout coming on staff by faith. Every staff member that's ever come has come by faith. They came by faith. We were going to start a school. We had no idea who would come to the school. We had no idea how many students would come. We had no idea whether or not... I'll go to this microphone and try it a little better. We had no idea if we would be able to even pay Brother and Mrs. Hout. And as Brother and Mrs. Hout came to Lancaster Baptist Church to help serve in the Christian school, we just said, come on, and we'll see what happens. And you know what happened? 46 students came to Lancaster Baptist School. It was all by faith. And thank God again, this past year, God increased. And it's all because of faith. I remember West Coast Baptist College, God laying that on our heart. I remember the night our church voted unanimously to start the college. Why? Pastor had faith. People follow the pastor's faith. And I remember some thinking, starting a college, that's a big undertaking. And it is. We're just getting going. It's just now getting founded. But thank God that when the doors opened this fall, 212 students came to West Coast Baptist College from 20 states and many churches. Why? Because of faith in the Word of God, that God has promised to honor faith of His people when we place it in His Word. I remember 3 years ago establishing this new Phase 2 building program and stepping out by faith. Boy, if I would have known then what I know now, I'm not sure I would have had a strong enough faith. And isn't that the way God works sometimes? God just honors the faith you have a day at a time and a step at a time. But thank God, because of faith, we're about 90% through in this project now. And God is doing great and mighty things. But where did it all begin? And how will it all get finished? By having faith in God. Paul said, when I think of your church, I'm reminded of your work of faith. Notice, secondly, he says, remembering without ceasing your labor of love. Your labor of love. Now, here we see true love always labors. Fellas, let's try this one. Maybe that'll be good, too. We'll just play musical microphones tonight and see how that works. Our microphone system broke last night. Some amplifier just blew up. So I commend the guys for having anything for me tonight. And thank you very much. But notice this second phrase, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Paul did not say, I remember your faith and your love. He said, I remember your work of faith and I remember your labor of love. Now here we see the labor of love. True love always labors. True love always labors. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says, we are laborers together with God. Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And the Thessalonican model was a model that labored in love. You know, sometimes people try to make an analysis of Lancaster Baptist Church and who are these people and why do they do all these things and what's going on over there anyways? And I'll tell you, when I look around and when I watch the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, what I see is a labor of love. I see people who are doing what they're doing because of love for God and love for the souls of men. You ever get just to a place where you just step back and try to analyze everything that God is doing? I'll tell you, the last few days I've been doing that and it just all of a sudden began to dawn on me what the Lord was doing just in the last few days. Why, Wednesday night we had just a wonderful time in God's house and to preach from the book of James on patience. And many of God's people were edified from the Word of God. And we had a sweet time of prayer after the service and had meetings and fellowship after the service. And then this past Thursday, I was just noticing as I came in on Thursday, we had a building committee meeting and several of our men took off work and rearranged their schedules to come and sit in that meeting and to go over all of the various details of the project right now. And I was thinking about the love that those men have for the Lord and for their church and the fact that they would give of their time to come and be a part of the ministry in that way. As I walked into the church on Thursday, I saw a group of ladies who were working and volunteering and others who were helping around cleaning the building and just faithfully coming in to serve in that way. It was a labor of love. I was thinking about this past Thursday night, the activity that the college had, College Days, 170 young people, juniors and seniors who came into the campus of West Coast Baptist College and many volunteers from our church who provided food for them and preachers who preached to them and people who had activities for them and our church family just loving other church families and loving teenagers that they'd never met before but just encouraging their heart. Then Friday came. Friday morning I walked around a little bit and saw the school and what God was doing in the lives of young people and what a blessing that was to my heart just to see God working in the lives of young people. Friday morning I had the joy and privilege of preaching in this auditorium. These three center sections were packed and jammed with college age and high school young people who were coming to hear the Word of God preached. And I just began to think about what God was doing in the place called Lancaster Baptist Church. And just 7 days a week, people's lives being touched. We took all of the college students and all the high school students down to the new gymnasium. And we walked in the new gymnasium there, and I got up onto a pile of sheetrock, and I read to them from Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as I stood up on that sheetrock and just kind of shared a word of testimony about Lancaster Baptist Church, and I told those visitors here that were with us about the faith of the church to build the new auditorium. And I said, now, this gymnasium, I can't ask the church right now to help with it financially, but I said, I'd like to ask you young people to pray with us that maybe by January or so, this building could be built. And I just kind of talked to them like that. And I said to some of the prospective students, many who registered, by the way, when they were here, and I said, pray that we'll have this ready when you come to be here at West Coast Baptist College. You know, as they walked out of that metal building and started back down the road, I stood back a ways by the gymnasium and I watched a couple of hundred young people walking back down towards this auditorium. You know, sometimes building programs, you just can't explain it to anybody. It's just hard to explain it. One of our new members yesterday, he said, Pastor Chapel, that building program's taking a long time, isn't it? I didn't know how to answer it. I wanted to say, oh, if you only knew. I've got 12 or 15 building notebooks if you want to read the minutes to understand why. But I don't think you would have wanted to read them. But it's hard to explain it. Sometimes I think about all the engineering that goes into that and all the infrastructure under the roads and trying to take men at men's barbecues out there on a pile of dirt and say, now, this right here someday will be a dorm, and right there will be a traffic circle, and right over there will be the gym where the kids can play. And isn't that exciting and having some of them go, if you say so, Pastor, it's exciting. walking pastors and kids and people out there, and the dust is blowing, and you're trying to show them what's going to go on, and you're working on those blueprints, and then finally the tractors come in and the pavement's going down, and you're standing out there, maybe with Brother Furso if he'll stand with you. And you're just standing there and getting excited and thinking about what God could do in the ministry, and you're just trying to have a vision for the things of God, and yet sometimes it's just dirt and asphalt and plans and meetings, and yet as I stood out there by that gymnasium Friday and watched those kids walking down that asphalt, and I saw those young people with their Bibles and the love of the Lord in their hearts, and I thought to myself, that's what it's all about right there. That's what it's all about. People's lives being touched. After that afternoon, I came over to Lancaster Baptist School for the Harvest Festival Friday night. And I saw our church family. I saw so many of our church family, moms and dads and kids. In an atmosphere, there was no rock and roll music. There was no ghouls and goblins. There was no worldly paraphernalia. Just godly people who love one another and going from room to room and fellowshipping together. And I watched as many of our folks in a labor of love just served food and howdied with folks and got dunked in a dunk tank and did all kinds of things just in the way of Christian fellowship. I went from there over to the Turkey Bowl Friday night over at Tierra Bonita Park. The Turkey Bowl is the freshmen from the college against all the rest of the students. And I am telling you, I stood there for four quarters and prayed something like this: Lord, don't let any of these kids get hurt. Don't let any of them kill one another. I mean, they were playing tackle football on the muddy field and without pads and without helmets. And they were just really hitting hard. And many of the moms and dads were there observing the game. And Dr. Rasmussen, being the administrator that he is, said, "Don't worry, Pastor, I had them all sign a waiver before the game began." And I was happy for that forethought on the part of our college vice president. But nevertheless, I was still concerned for the health of the young men. And I stood there and I watched that, and I saw folks cheering, and I saw the guys as they were playing, and many of them I know to be future missionaries and pastors and people who've given their lives to God. And I saw them at the end of the game as they came and gathered around. And I guess about 80 or so young men gathered around. Brother Getch walked up. He said, "All right, boys, now the game's over. Now we're all one team again." They all said, "Amen, that's right." They all gathered together and had a word of prayer. And then I saw those fellows as they gathered in a circle just spontaneously, and they began to sing "Victory in Jesus." I wish you could have seen that. I wish you could have seen those young men singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." They were all dirty and grimy and sweaty and steam pouring off them, singing "Victory in Jesus." A lot of us stood around. It's hard to describe the moment. Tears came to my eyes just to think of the love of the Lord in their lives. I saw a couple of the college girls standing next to me. One of them said, "Those are some good men there, huh, Pastor?" I said, "That's right." I don't know why she was writing down numbers. Number 22, number 17, number 23. Some good men there. Folks were serving hot chocolate, and folks were walking around being friendly to unsaved parents who'd come to watch the game. I'm telling you, the last 3 or 4 days, just a labor of love, just a continuous labor of love. Because we have to? No, I think folks just like serving the Lord. Just a labor of love. I said to my wife that afternoon, I said, "Honey, just be ready for company." That's the motto of my wife's life, just be ready for company. About 10 o'clock, we showed up, about 12 or 15 of us for company. And had a bunch of teenagers, and Pastor Rule from Chico came and had his son with him. And we sat there and talked to some young people about the church and the college and the philosophy of the ministry. And I guess it was about midnight when they left. And I went into the kitchen. My wife was in there making little gifts for her Sunday school class, and writing a little note to each of the Sunday school children that ride on the bus. And why is that? It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. It's not a 40-hour week thing. It's a labor of love. Well, got a few hours of sleep. I'm just talking about the last few days, not the last decade, just the last few days. Got a few hours of sleep. Got up and came to church 8 o'clock in the morning. Went up to the youth auditorium. Had to go up there because there were people being fed in the multipurpose room and people getting ready for a meeting in here. Went up and had prayer with some of the men. What a blessing. And then it got ready for the new members reception. While I was getting ready for that, there was a soul winning class in the fireside room and a challenge in here with Brother Christensen. And then folks got ready for soul winning. And I met yesterday with some of our new members. What a blessing. And folks were there serving food and passing out booklets and just trying to encourage people who are just new in their faith. And what a blessing that was. Went off to make some hospital visits yesterday. And as I went to the hospital to see Mrs. Sadler, she said to me, she said, "Oh, Pastor, what a wonderful church family." She said, "So many people have come to see me." She said, "They just come and pray with me." And I thought, what a blessing. That's a labor of love. I was thinking yesterday how I wanted to see Mrs. Appleton so badly. And she's down below in a hospital right now. And I wanted to get down there, and time wasn't affording. And sometimes I feel like, oh, during this building program, I'm not as good of a pastor as I should be. And I wanted to go down and see Mrs. Appleton, and I just was burdened about it. And today I got a little card from Mrs. Stiskel, from her daughter. A little card said, "Pastor, thank you for your love and prayers. I don't always get to shake hands with you at the door because it's hard sometimes for Mom to stand there that long." And she said, "In this busy time, visits are hard, and don't worry about it. We feel your love and your prayers." You know, that's a godly note right there. You know, there are some who'd get offended. And yet here's a godly note. But you know, as I talked with Mrs. Stiskel and others today, I found out Mrs. Appleton's had lots of visitors. Pastoral staff, yes, but lots of church visitors. You know why? Labor of love. People who love people and who love the Lord and who are willing to labor in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was walking around yesterday afternoon on the church property after a college activity, after soul winning activities, after new members receptions, after all these different things. Here on the other side of the property over here, over 200 teenagers from all over Lancaster. Basketball tournament, and they were playing basketball, and they gathered all these teenagers together, and our church family, from our general offering, we provided pizza for all these teenagers, and they came and had pizza, and then they had preaching from Dr. Getch. Brother Getch preached them. I don't know, I've heard different numbers, but somewhere over 10 young men prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. I'm just talking about the last few days. You know what I saw when I walked on the other side of those modulars? I saw men and women everywhere passing out pizza to people they've never met before. I saw them praying with kids that a lot of Christians wouldn't want to even be around. I saw them putting their arms around people that had burdens and inviting moms and dads, some with long hair and earrings and all kinds of different apparel and obviously not from a Christian background, but showing to them the love of Jesus Christ. And I said, thank God for the love. Thank God for those who express their love. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about a labor of love. A labor of love. Paul said, "I remember your work of faith, but I remember your labor of love." And true love always labors. And I just thank God tonight for the love that abounds. But I want to say tonight, let's keep it up. Let's keep on loving others and loving the Lord. I see here tonight the work of the church. It was a work of faith. Notice secondly, the walk of the church. The walk of the church. The Bible says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Notice verse 6 again. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." I see the walk of the church. I see the Bible indicating in verse number 6 that the church, first of all, followed the spiritual leadership in their midst. I believe they followed the faith of the Apostle Paul. I believe that when Jason saw Paul as a soul winner, and Jason saw the result of that, he said, "I can do that too." And he desired to be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And I believe today one of the reasons that Satan will often try so hard to discredit the leadership of a church is because Satan knows that God will often bless a church proportionately to their responsiveness to the leadership of the church. God will bless a church proportionately to their responsiveness to the leadership in the church. I don't understand what I just said, but I believe it. I believe that God says there's a church who's following their pastoral leadership as he follows the Lord, and I honor that equation. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God," watch this, "whose faith," what does it say? Whose faith what? "Whose faith follow," Hebrews 11:7. God's word says follow the faith of those who speak the word of God. Verse 6 says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." You know, folks, you'll find in your life that every spiritual leader has feet of clay. But when those feet of clay are leading you towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the right thing to do is just to walk on with the spiritual leader and go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize tonight spiritual leaders are leaders and not lords. They are servants and not saviors. They are guides and not gods, but they are God-ordained in the church. And we see that when the church at Thessalonica saw these leaders, the Bible says, "And ye became followers of us." But notice the next phrase, "and of the Lord." And of the Lord. This mighty church at Thessalonica, as they followed Paul and as they followed Timothy and as they followed others, they were being directed into a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 simply says it this way, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Thank God that the walk of the church was a walk that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus they became a mighty church in the city of Thessalonica. So we see very clearly the work of the church was a work of faith. And the walk of the church was an orderly walk following after the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice thirdly, the witness of the church. The Bible says in verse 7, "So that ye were ensamples," or examples, "to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Would you notice the way this church witnessed? The Bible says they sounded out the word of the Lord. Verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." You know, that's what a church ought to do. A church ought to be sounding out the word of the Lord. I like the song the men sing sometime. "I'm going to shout it from the mountaintop, Jesus saves." And that's exactly what this church did. They sounded out the word of the Lord. My Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except they have a preacher?" How shall they hear except they have a preacher? Thank God the church at Thessalonica had preachers who were willing to tell forth, to sound forth the word of God. I remember when I came to Lancaster, we called up many churches, and I said to the pastors, I said, "I'll be going to Lancaster, California. There's a small group of folks there with a small building, but they're unable to really pay a pastor's salary, and if you folks would be willing to support us on a monthly basis, we would be willing to go there by faith and trust God to provide." I thank the Lord for those churches that supported our ministry, and that's one of the reasons we have such a sensitive heart towards church planters and missionaries today. But I remember when I would call some individuals, they didn't want to support financially, but boy, they had a lot of good advice to give me. And don't get me wrong, advice was needed also, but it was just sometimes the advice just really wasn't in sync with where we were right at that time in our lives. And I remember one fellow in particular, he said, "Let me tell you what to do." He said, "You need to have billboards and yellow page ads and newspaper ads." And he says, "You got to get the word out." And I thought to myself, my soul, we don't have enough money for groceries, much less a yellow page ad, much less a newspaper ad. I mean, I don't really know what to do with this advice, Lord. And I thought of the scripture when God said to Moses, "What is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand?" And I thought about what I did have. I thought, you know, I've got the Bible. And I've still got leather on my shoes. And I've got a pretty big mouth. And if the Holy Spirit of God would fill me with His Spirit and His power, why, I guess I could at least go out and tell people about Jesus. "From you sounded out the word of the Lord." Do you know, I meet people all the time that say to me, "You know, I remember you knocked on my door in 1987. I remember you knocked on my door years ago." You know, I want to tell you, folks, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Bus workers, Sunday school teachers, soul winners. The church at Thessalonica sounded out the word of the Lord. And for 12 years, we've been sounding out the word of the Lord, and we must not stop now. We must continue to tell folks about Jesus Christ. They sounded out the word. Notice they also saw changed lives. The Bible says in verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Paul says, whenever we meet Christians in Achaia and Macedonia, they tell us what happened at Thessalonica. Isn't that good when good news is spreading like that? How many of you noticed that on the news, all you hear lately is bad news? Have you noticed that? It's about all there ever is. Bad news. 3 murdered in L.A. today. 4 home robberies in Lancaster. I mean, it's just one bit of bad news after another bit of bad news. But Paul said in Achaia and Macedonia, when I would hear about what was going on there at Thessalonica, they themselves showed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. In other words, they were saying, boy, we heard about the ministry at Thessalonica. We heard what was going on there. And specifically, 3 things were taking place. Notice it says, number 1, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Do you see the grace of God working in lives here? Here we see God working in their hearts. They turned to God. That's salvation. They turned from their idols. That's separation. And they begin to serve the living God. That's service. You see, when God touches someone's heart, when someone is saved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And here we see that God changed the lives of those at Thessalonica. Several years ago, I was talking to Dr. Lee Robertson, and I was just amazed. I had just read the book, 40 Plus. You ought to get that book out of the bookstore. 40 Plus. 40 years at the Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And after reading that book, and you open it up in the middle, there's pictures. And some of us, that's our favorite part of a book, right? Pictures. And I looked at those pictures and I thought, man, look at that auditorium. Look at those classrooms. Look at all the people walking on the street there. Look at how the ministry was touching lives. Here's the Art DeMoss building, built by the Art DeMoss Foundation. Here's another big dormitory built by a family in memory of their son. Here's the Lee Robertson Center. The Lee Robertson Center could fit 3 of these buildings inside of it. Lee Robertson Center. Big, big building for the church and college. I read about lives that were changed. I read the story of the ministry at Highland Park Baptist Church. And I said to Dr. Robertson, Dr. Robertson, how did that happen? How did God touch your life and your ministry so that for 40 years you baptized nearly 6,000 a year or some years and altogether, tens of thousands of converts. Missionaries tonight are around the world who graduated from their college. I said, how did that happen? And I remember what he said, 3 words. 3 simple words. He simply said, faith in God. Faith in God. Brother Chapel, have faith in God. A mighty church is a church that has faith in God. Paul said, when I think about the church at Thessalonica, when I remember that church, I remember their work of faith. Several years ago, this church, with about half the size congregation that I preach to tonight, gathered together in an old building at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. This building seemed like it was taking forever to get built. Do you remember that? It seemed like the rain wouldn't stop, and it seemed like we could never get the trusses in, and it just seemed like it took forever to get built. We gathered together in November of 1993. We had something called the Thanksgiving offering. The pastor said, prior to that offering, folks, I know we've had offerings, but now this is the one right before we get into the building. I said, folks, let's have faith in God. Let's have faith in God. You know the rest of the story. God met the need in such a great way. I think about this year's Thanksgiving offering. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I just want to encourage you with this simple thought. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because when our faith is in God and then our works are works of faith, God just has a special way of blessing and doing great and mighty things. Do you know, I look back then, and proportionately, what we were facing then was every bit as great as what we face now. How many of you realize that? Proportionately, it was just as big of a challenge. And you know what? We serve just as big of a God today. Whether it's the building, whether it's lost souls, whatever the need is, have faith in God. I remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, help us to follow the Thessalonican model. Help us to have faith in God. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to believe in you. Father, I pray that you would allow us once again to see your great and mighty hand in our midst. I thank you, Lord, for the labor of love in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the walk of the church. And I thank you for the word that is spread abroad from this place. But now, Lord, help us to continually be faithful unto you. Our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed.